If you've got a date night planned as a couple, husband and wife, are there any rules you should follow for your date night? Ron Deal thinks there are.
One of my rules right now is put the phone down. Mm. Nan and I have
Amen.
Had big conversations around phones being in our hand, on the table. How much does it divert away? If it dings, do we look? You know, we try to really discipline ourselves and put it on silent and put it away and not let that interrupt
during our whole date.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard, isn't it?
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. Sometimes a date as a couple can go great, right? And sometimes not so great. So how can you improve the odds? We're going to talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, if I had to come up with a list of some of the kind of cardinal ideas, the big ideas that have defined what it is we talk about here at Family Life, probably at the top of that list would be the idea that the natural drift in every marriage is toward isolation, and that unless we're intentional, that's where we're headed, but we need to be moving intentionally toward oneness in marriage rather than the drift toward isolation. That was an aha principle the first time I heard it.
The first time Ann and I heard it was at A Weekend to Remember, 2 weeks before we got married. And, you know, I was just in an inner tube on a river in Steamboat, Colorado, and you talk about drift.
The natural drift.
You're drifting wherever that river takes you, and if you don't paddle a different way, you're going there. And that is something we don't understand in marriage. You're headed toward isolation. It's the natural drift. You've got to work to stop
that. Well, we think that our feelings and love for one another will just naturally bring us together down the right path.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about the drift that's pulling us backwards.
And to recognize that it is natural for you to drift apart rather than for you to drift together. All of a sudden, when you start drifting apart, you go, oh, this is natural. And, oh, we better get intentional to start paddling back toward one another, which is what we want to spend time talking about today. Ron Deal is joining us again. Welcome back, Ron.
Thank you.
Ron gives leadership to Family Life Blended. He's an author and a speaker. You guys all know Ron. I don't need to explain to you who Ron Deal is. But this idea of intentionality in marriage, couples who fail at intentionality wind up looking at each other and going, how did we get so far apart from one another?
Nan and I woke up one day and we were in the drift. And let me tell you, it was an ugly, ugly story. And so let me just say this. Intentionality, you can think you're being intentional and still somehow kind of miss it or miss each other. I think even with the best of intentions, we live our lives and we do the best we can and we can be serving the Lord and doing a lot of great stuff and then not recognize that we've lost touch with each other.
How long into marriage when you guys woke up and said, we've drifted?
Yeah, I want to know what happened.
So I would say about 15 years in.
At this point, you've got three sons.
Yes.
Right.
We've got three kids. I'm a family ministry leader. I am teaching and talking day in and day out and doing therapy with families.
You're an expert.
I'm an expert, and I'm doing the ministry thing. And in the process, I end up coming into pride and starting to build Ron's kingdom. Shifted away from God's kingdom, started to build Ron's kingdom. Nan's taking care of three kids under the age of five, you know, somewhere in those early years. We're going and blowing and doing life. And wake up one day, and we have really drifted.
And how did you realize you had drifted? Did your wife say, we've drifted?
No, it was more like, if something doesn't change, I'm leaving you.
Oh, wow.
It was a big wake-up call. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, of course, I saw all of the little messages that had been coming along where she was saying, hey, I'm feeling disconnected. I'm feeling disconnected. Where are we? How are we not? You know. But I heard all of that, but didn't respond to that. Or I sort of did, but then sort of didn't.
And that's so similar to our story.
It sounds like your 10-year anniversary.
Thinking, is this fairly typical where as wives, we feel like, oh, he started dating his career, and I've been left in the dust.
Oh, absolutely. Hang on. Or husband's like, oh, she started dating the kids.
Why'd you have to say that?
There you go.
Because it's true for wives who can, they're so focused on what's going on with the kids that they don't have any emotional
energy.
Husbands
feel left out. Yeah.
There's a million things in the world that end up becoming the third thing in the midst of our marriages. I think a lot of people today, it's their phone. And I'm not kidding. You know, I think their phone is more important than their usness sometimes. But the point is, I've been there. And I think even with intentionality and some awareness and some biblical roots and being embedded in a Christian community, we can still find ourselves in the drift. I don't fault people at this point in my life. I think early on in my pride, especially, I was judgmental about folks. But now I realize, look, good-hearted, innocent, loving, God-fearing people can end up going, man, what happened to us? That is a moment where you wake up, but it's also a moment where you go, all right, let's figure this out and rediscover our usness.
And when that happens, you have to diagnose, do we just need an adjustment here, or do we need to take this marriage
into
the shop?
Yeah.
Right.
Because some couples may look at things and go, oh, we'll just make a few adjustments, and no, they've got deeper issues and they need to see a pastor or a counselor, get something to take care of this.
And I don't know about you, Ron or Bob, I thought that's all I needed.
Just tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, if I don't go to work and excel there, we don't have a house, we don't get a paycheck, but my marriage, my wife loves me. So if I, you know, put that just on the back burner, she's good. But my job is not going to give me that kind of grace. But I realized same thing you did, Ron. It's like, she's been saying things and I've been missing the cues, and all of a sudden she just said, I'm done.
And there really is a third thing in all of our relationships. I mean, your marriage, your usness, whatever term you want to use, is the third thing. It's one thing for Ron to be healthy. It's another thing for Nan to be healthy. It is a totally different thing to say, is our relationship healthy? And I think sometimes we oversimplify. She loves me, kind of like you just said, you know, and I love her, and hey, we're going to be able to figure this thing out. But I didn't quite, I remember in my wake-up moment, I had no understanding of how far we had drifted and therefore how much work it was going to take to begin to restore that, to repair that. It was a long process, and we needed support and help to get there. And 34 years in, we are still working on our marriage. Like, there is not a day that doesn't go by where there's not an opportunity to explore something or reflect back on that hard season and what can we learn from it. You know, we're always working on our marriage because God's always using our marriage to work on us.
We're a few laps ahead of you, and you'll still be working on it when you get to where we are.
Right, I was going to say, won't we always be working on our marriages? Because we've been talking about it. We all need maintenance.
So if a couple is at a point where they're starting to sense that drift toward isolation, how can they diagnose, can we fix things just by kind of getting back to basics and starting to do some of those things we used to do, or we need to see somebody and get some help? How can a couple know whether this is big or this is just needing some tweaks?
The analogy I use a lot of times is, it's kind of like when you get the sniffles and a runny nose and you're like, is this the flu? Is it?
Right.
I don't know. It could be the cold. Okay. Let's address it and deal with the symptoms. And after about 5 days, if it goes away, it was the cold. If it doesn't go away, then you might need to go see a doctor. So, I mean, I tell people all the time, okay, let's re-energize your relationship. Let's get back to doing some of the things you used to do. Is there some stuff you need to talk through? Okay, right. Let's do that as a part of this. But just, you know, assume it's a cold. But if that doesn't seem to help, well, then you might need to consult a pastor or counselor, somebody who can really help you look at it more deeply than you can do on your own.
Yeah, and if your wife says, I've lost my feelings for you, or if Ron, your wife said, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's like a serious diagnosis from the most important person in your life saying, this isn't a cold. This is going to require some real work.
When Ann said that to you at the 10th anniversary, did you call a counselor?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, it was the moment where I finally heard it.
You had that wake-up call.
It was the wake-up. I mean, and you know, we all know that you don't change until you hurt enough. You know, you don't really care about your diet until you have a heart attack or you get diagnosed. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm changing everything. That was the moment I'm like, this has to change. And for me, the diagnosis was I got to go vertical, but that wasn't the end. I mean, Jesus had to be put back as the center. Mm. But then it was, okay, what are the things we're going to do or we're going to keep drifting?
Mm-hmm. This might be where a couple would say, we ought to go to one of those weekends to remember and do something that's big and catalytic. And by the way, we just got a handful of those happening this spring, but there may still be a seat available at one or two of them. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, for more information about that.
And that conference has changed thousands of marriages.
Tens of thousands, right, over the years. Absolutely. It may be that you need one-on-one with a pastor or a counselor or someone in your community who can give you some focused attention and help. Or it may be that you just say, okay, let's read a book together. Mm-hmm. Or our team has just come up with this new date box kit called Dates to Remember, because so many couples were saying to us, the weekends to remember, limited seating, we need one of those, but we can't get to one of those now. We said, well, let's take the date nights from a weekend to remember, and let's make that something you can do on your own in your home that's fun and engaging. Each date has a game that you play together as a couple, a video that you watch, some discussion that happens afterwards, and then there's an opportunity to pray together. It's designed to be simple and easy to execute, but to get you having conversations you would not otherwise have, to get you to start making some of the adjustments in your relationship that can patch up some of the problem spots that may have occurred, because now all of a sudden you're working intentionally to pursue usness, oneness, rather than just accepting the natural drift toward isolation. And I know you, Ron, work with blended couples regularly. Are date nights or these times of engagement, is this tougher in a blended marriage than it is in an intact marriage?
Yes, sometimes you're dating in a crowd with a blended family. And so there are considerations that go along with that. I also think for some couples, dating can actually be problematic a little bit for blended couples early on in their marriage. In a biological family, when a couple goes out, it gives a great sense of security to the kids that mom and dad love each other and look at them smile. And that's, life is as it should be when that's the case. When a blended couple goes out, sometimes the children are envious of that and jealous of that. Hey, he's spending time with mom and we're not. You know, it used to be us that got to be with her. And so that can sometimes create this competition between stepchildren and a step-parent, for example. But it's still the right thing to do for a blended couple to do. They do need to be mindful of the kids' feelings about it and not throw it in their face, for example. But yes, going out still nurtures their usness. And that's so important because they've got to lead the blended family from their marriage. Recently had a conversation with Mike and Jana Haney for the Family Life Blended podcast. And we were talking about habits of healthy couples and blended families. And they were talking a little bit about their challenges in doing dates.
We dated for several years without involving our children. And we had some reasons for doing that. Then when we got married, we would have these plans for the weekends with our children. And we would have trouble. Things wouldn't go right. We would have issues come up, and we would come to the end of the weekend and we would be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And we would be like, oh, that didn't go right. I just wanted to have a perfect weekend. Well, then we started realizing that that was just totally wrong to think that way.
You were building it up into something.
We were building it up.
Yeah, into, boy, we're going to have this fabulous weekend. The kids are here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
It was never going to happen.
You couldn't achieve that.
Right.
And then you felt like you were a failure.
Right. Well, we just felt like it was never going to happen. And this is when we were dating and we started doing things together with our kids. We would make a plan and it wouldn't work out. And so then we stopped trying to make those times with our children perfect when we were dating. And we started focusing on what went right. And we started counting all the things that went right. And we discovered that we could come up with a whole lot of moments that went right. And so then that's just what we started focusing on. So we would still look at what didn't go well, and we would talk about what small changes we could make, but then we just started focusing on all the good moments. And that was how we started counting everything.
What I love about that is the idea of focusing on what goes right, because how many of us have had date nights that did not go right?
Yes. I'm just going to say I'm really famous for going on a date night and pointing out all the reasons we've had a bad week relationally. And no wonder Dave didn't want to go on a date with me anymore. Like, oh, this is going to be fun. Anne's going to critique how I was the entire week. I love this. They focused on the positives.
Yeah. What I really like about what she was saying is, I mean, I was listening to it as a husband just now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's sometimes intimidating to go on dates. And there's so much pressure, and now I'm not having any fun. I'm uptight.
Like, and we could have a fight before this is all
exactly.
over, right?
Yeah. The date can be ruined by my anxiety all of a sudden. But if you relax and go, wait a minute, there's going to be some nice moments. Mm. Quit judging it on, was it 100% awesome?
Yeah.
Great point.
You know, and we're just too hard on ourselves that way. No, wait a minute. There's going to be some nice elements to this. It's going to contribute to our usness, and that's okay.
Yeah. So if you're coaching couples about dating, going out together, having a night where you're going to focus, it's just the relationship, and maybe you've done it before and you run out of things to talk about, or it hasn't gone well, are there any rules you would say? Keep this in mind as you have your date.
I want Ron to talk about the rules. Like, oh, let's talk about the dating rules.
Well, I just want to mention, Anne just gave a great one, is don't go on the date and talk about the bad things going on in your relationship.
Don't make it a toxic waste dump of a date, right?
Can you say that again, Ron? I think the woman that came up with that doesn't always do that.
I will say that in the grand scheme of life, sometimes on dates, that's the only time you have to talk about things going on. But in general, we want to try to avoid that. One of my rules right now is put the phone down. Mm. Nan and I have
had
big conversations around phones being in our hand, on the table. How much does it divert away? If it dings, do we look? You know, we try to really discipline ourselves and put it on silent and put it away and not let that interrupt
during our whole date?
Yeah.
Like, that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
well,
it
is
after
hard.
8 o'clock at night, we're doing that.
You are.
Yes.
Here's what's hard for me in those, and Marianne and I, we've negotiated this. There are times when I can put the phone down and I can try to give her my undivided attention, but I'm still wondering, what was that about? What was it? Just buzzed.
Turn the ding off or put it in the other room.
Yeah,
Bob.
Still, I'm thinking, what's going on in that other room? So we've found this rhythm where it's like we'll have a conversation and we'll say, okay, time out, check your phone. We could, you know, we'll go through that, and then we're back together. Just so
is that enabling?
She's
you?
Okay with this. She checks her phone too. We just had this. It was after church on Sunday. We were sitting down to eat, and I just had to kind of clear my mind of, I'd gotten some text messages after the service. I had a couple of emails. I couldn't fully engage with her until I'd cleared the decks of that.
Yep. Okay, so here's the takeaway for the audience listening right now, and that is you and your wife co-created the rules around when and how we access our phones. That is the important takeaway.
Right.
Every couple may have a little bit of a different answer. But if you negotiate and talk it through and you can decide together, all right, this is acceptable for us, then it's probably a pretty good plan.
I like that.
She doesn't want me in that moment to be going, will you hurry this up so I can get to my phone and get to what? So let me clear off what's on the phone.
Is that a deeper issue?
maybe. I think you can talk with Marianne about this, and then there's an intervention coming. I can smell it around the corner.
Well, and I mean, and the thing we're trying to get at is what matters in that moment on the date is focused attention. Because we don't get a lot of focused attention because we have busy lives, and it's not a bad thing.
Especially
kids run around, toddlers.
Especially with kids.
You're busy, moms, dad, it doesn't matter. But at some point, you got to say, this relationship matters so much. I need to be not distracted, whether it's a phone
or a
TV in the background. A sports game going on.
That's right. That's
I'm bouncing a ball while I'm talking to you. It's like, no, focus in here.
I can't take my wife to Buffalo Wild Wings because there's 40 screens.
Right.
I can't do it. I'm distracted. My eye gets drawn. I just know that's not a place for a date.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty too. I'm teasing, but like when the phone is going off and it's my kids, I feel like, oh, well, this is a priority. You can't get on the phone, but this is the kids.
Yeah.
We have also had seasons in our marriage where something is going on and I know our regular routine is going to be disrupted. I think back to when I was overseeing the Art of Marriage video project. And I was traveling a lot to get video for that, and I was working extra hours to put this whole project together. And going into the project, I remember Marianne and I sitting down and looking at what the next 3 months were going to look like, how much travel I was going to be doing, when I was going to be home. And she's looking at that schedule. I'm watching her start to fade, like, this is going to be miserable. And we both agree this is the right thing to do. And yes, it's going to be hard. So let's just covenant here that we're going to get through these months, and then we're going to build on the other side of that an extended period of time where we're shutting everything out and we're purposing to come back together. At the end of a long season where we know we're going to be apart, let's build in to get back together.
And yet at the same time, during that season, you still can't completely check out.
You can't, no.
Like I used to look at Ann at the beginning of the football season as the chaplain and say, hey, is there anything you want to say to me for the next 4 months?
Before January, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. But, I mean, it is a busy, busy time. You were doing that. And yet still, somehow, you got to be checking
but
in.
But I was going to say, the key to what you and Marianne have done is you've talked about it together.
Ahead of time.
This is going to be happening. Yeah. Even let's touch base even as this is going on to make sure we're doing okay.
Yeah. And I got to add this, because this is our life. We've had that discussion many times, like, at least I have. Honey, it's going to be really crazy for the next couple months. But when that's over, we'll have a season. Hmm. And then we get to the rest season.
And you don't have the season.
And you just keep going. Yeah. I'm guilty of that. And she starts to think, you're never going to really make our marriage a priority. Because you keep saying that, but at some point you got to put up or shut up.
Ron, are there any other dating rules you think are important?
You know, I just think it's the discipline of doing something constructive. So this date box is a great example of it gives you something constructive to talk about. There was a series of books a number of years ago. My friends David and Claudia Arp wrote books, 10 Great Dates, and it's essentially what they did. I've learned that if I go on a date with my wife and I've got one kind of thought-filled probing question, just one question I'm going to toss out at some point in the evening, and it's a little bit about usness, or it's a little bit about, you know, our future together, or something that's really constructive about our relationship.
Give us an example.
So one example was, what are we going to do on vacation? And how can you and I get some extra time after the kids have joined us on vacation, right? And that's months in advance, thinking through that a little bit. A recent one was sort of similar to that. Annually, you should get away as a couple and retreat and spend time together. And it was simply, when and how can we do that? And circumstances of our life, and we've got things coming, and there's this we got to work around, and there's your schedule and my schedule. And so that's not an easy conversation to have, but it's an investment. What I'm saying to her is, you matter to me, and I really want us to get this on the calendar.
And even something as simple as this, if Ann and I are sitting down at dinner or whatever, it could be sitting on the couch, don't have the money to go out, sit on the couch, put a blanket on you, get the popcorn out. And if I would say, okay, honey, of these five options, which two would you pick for me to be romantic with you? Hold your hand, kiss you, rub your back, talk to you, write you a love note. Top two.
Or what vacuum the house.
Okay, six. She'd add one. I mean, that right there says to her, you thought about this? You planned this? You really do want to know?
This is so good, guys.
Years ago, I remember having dinner with our mutual friend Dan Allender, and he told me about an anniversary date with his wife Becky, and he said at the date he reached into his jacket pocket and he pulled out a letter that he handed to her, and in that letter he said, I have been thinking about the gifts I see in you, the skills, the abilities, what you're really good at. And he had three things. These are three things where I see you really shine. And then he said, and I'd like to help you grow in these areas. So he said, for example, have you thought about taking an art class? I'd be happy to watch the kids on Tuesday night. There's one at the community college if that's something you'd like to do. He had a few other suggestions of things. Is this something that you'd like to do? But the point was, I want to help you thrive and flourish. And I've been thinking about this. And here's what I'm observing. Let's talk about that.
Well, everything in that says you matter to me.
Yes.
And that's the meaning and that's the important point there. But what a creative way of getting there.
And again, we're back to having some intentionality going in. So you don't just schedule an evening and go, okay, now what do we do? I think that's one of the reasons the team put together this date box, is to give husbands and wives a simple follow the easy instructions, have some fun, something that'll jog your conversation a little bit.
We've done the work for you.
That's right. And with Valentine's Day coming up, this is a win for a couple to be able to have some purposeful, meaningful conversation together to draw you closer to one another. David Robbins, who's the president of Family Life, has stepped in here. And David, as a ministry, we recognize just how essential it is for couples to have these islands, these moments of time where they're focusing on one another.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, I know that in my head and we believe that in our hearts, but I actually experienced this just a month ago when I received the prototype of this Dates to Remember box and Meg and I went through it. And I'm here to tell you, we laughed till we cried and then we talked about this serious place and really unlocked an area that we needed to be unlocked. It was a great marriage maintenance tool for us and I'm confident it will be for you as well.
Well, again, we hope our listeners will go to familylifetoday.com to find out more about how they can get the Dates to Remember date box sent to them. It's available now. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information or to order online or call 800-FL-TODAY. And we can answer any questions. You can order by phone, 800-358-6329. That's 800 F as in family, L as in life. And then the word today, ask about the Dates to Remember date box when you give us a call. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able in some form or fashion to worship together with your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to start talking about what is maybe one of the biggest challenges we face as men and how do we deal with that challenge strategically. We're going to talk about lust and about pornography. Joe Rigney will be here to help with that. Hope you can be here as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.